Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock.
Let's everyone rock. Arkansas just executed two pieces of human trash, subhumans. First double execution in the U.S. in 17 years. And, of course, the liberals went crying to everyone but God himself, trying to stop the execution of these two filthy... you have no idea what I believe about not so much the mass murderers, but about the vermin in the ACLU and what they do. In sympathy for these devils on death row who have been found guilty over and over and over again, and how much money they rape out of the system to defend these pieces of human trash. You know, the articles are all saying the same thing. Two executed murderers in Arkansas. And they show the sympathetic stories of the poor perpetrators. But they never showed the crimes. Arkansas stages first double execution in U.S. in 17 years. And, of course, ATP News, which is fake news put out by ATP, listen to this, how they lead the article. The southern state of Arkansas, they published, in order to smear southerners and Arkansas as though they are knuckle-dragging, stupid southern illiterates. You know, not sophisticated types from New York City. The southern state of Kansas, rushing to execute several inmates before a lethal drug expires next week, put to death two inmates late. Do you know how long these vermin were on death row? They were sentenced to death in the 1990s. They were sentenced in the 1990s. Do you know what crimes they committed? You don't know, because none of the articles by the vermin in the fake news business published their crimes. But I had to go research the crimes of these two human trash committed. You want to hear them, or you made your mind up already about the death penalty? Well, hold on a little minute. One black, one white. So let's put race aside. Okay, just for a moment. Put your little racial lens aside. Take it off your stupid head. One white, one black. Jack Harold Jones was convicted in the 1995 rape and murder of Mary Phillips, a 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter, Lacey. Then he tried to murder the girl. Phillips was found naked from the waist down with the cord from a coffee pot wrapped around her neck. As police crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder scene and assumed the little girl was dead, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. This filth has been on death row since 1995. Take a guess who paid for his defense. You did. Because of the vermin in the ACLU, you did. How about the other doll? Marcel Williams. On the morning of November 20th, 1994, in Jacksonville, Arkansas, Marcel Williams forced motorist Stacy Erickson, 22, at gunpoint into the passenger seat of her car at a gas station and forced her to withdraw money from 18 automatic teller machines for a sum totaling $350. He then raped and strangled her in an abandoned storage shed. The young girl did not make it to work that day and did not pick up her child from the babysitter. Her body was found in a shallow grave on December 5th. Williams was sentenced to death in 1995. By the way, 2 days after the murder of Stacy Erickson, Marcel Williams kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. Well, finally, they were injected and killed. That's an example of the fake news putting out fake stories. By putting out the southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute several inmates. It took them since 1995. According to the Marvins at Columbia, that's rushing to execute inmates. You hear? Rushing to execute them since 1995. Well, anyway, they executed these wonderful gentlemen. I love when they use the word gentlemen, don't you? Sentenced to death in the 1990s, executed by lethal injection after all higher courts rejected their final legal appeals. Arkansas had planned to put 8 convicted murderers to death in 11 days, but 4 have won reprieves. I think it's time to clean up the death throes across America. Give them one more appeal and kill them all. Just execute them all. They're there because they've been convicted over and over again. Their appeals have been upheld over and over again. Do you know that a lawyer can make an entire lifetime of income on one appeal? Do you know that they make one case their entire life? Let's say you get up and go to a job every day to sell automobiles or insurance or houses. The lawyer from Harvard or NYU or Columbia Law, one of the good liberal humans, gets up every day and defends the same rapist and murderer every day for 30 years straight. One case can be assigned to that person. That's their entire livelihood, filing one fake appeal after another. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, as Clarence Darrow Savage today, one question. I have only one question for the audience that listens to this program religiously. You are the audience that matters. And this audience has only one question to answer in this first segment. Maybe for the first hour, maybe for the first 30 minutes, because I have other topics I want to touch on. Do you support or oppose the death penalty and why? It's an old question, but it's worthy of discussion again and again and again and again. I personally support the death penalty, but I want them put onto a fast track, all of them. I don't want any more 30 or 20 year or 40 year appeals. I don't want people on death row for 40 years because of the psychotics at NYU or ACLU. I want them to be given one or two appeals and then executed once they're found guilty. Last appeal, Supreme Court, and then execute them. And by the way, if the drugs are found to be cruel and inhuman punishment, which the Marvins of ACLU have come up with, oh, they're such clever boy chicks. They're so smart. Oh, these lawyers are so smart. They came up with a thought that, let's see, we can't stop it this way, we can't stop it that way. I got it. We'll say that the drug doesn't act fast enough, so they stop many executions based on that big lie. Well, I have an answer to that also. I have an answer to that, Marv. You want to hear the answer, Marvy boy? Here's your answer, Marv. Just use straight street heroin. Just go buy a couple of bags of street heroin. You can find it in any community in America. Or go to the Mexican border. You can probably buy it wholesale. Just get some street heroin into the prison. They'll die a very peaceful and, by the way, quick death. Interestingly enough, Bill O'Reilly was burned by the establishment for looking at a woman, for hugging a woman, for suggesting that the woman come to his room, if any of it's true. And the liberal media jumped down his throat and killed him! Killed him! Without appeal! And the same rat vermin on the left will appeal an absolute rapist's death sentence for 30 straight years. And support abortion. Why? Liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism, if you analyze it, is a very serious mental disorder that needs to be treated. I've tried to treat it with the truth for 20-some-odd years, and I've made almost no dent. Yes, it's true I helped elect Donald Trump. That's another story unto itself. But I'm asking you something. Why are liberals in favor of abortion and in favor of euthanasia for 14-year-olds? Why are they not in favor of the death penalty? Because they're psychotic. The ACLU is run by definition, by psychotic, antisocial types. 855-487-282, that's topic one. Do you favor or oppose the death penalty? If your heart's not pounding and your mind's not working, you are brain dead. I've just given you a test. If you are not responding to what I just gave you, you are brain dead. Go turn on PBS. That's what's fit for you. It's fit for your brain and for your body. Now I read another article today in so-called USA Away magazine paper. USA Away, never made a dime in its life. Loses millions of dollars a day. USA Away newspaper headline. Marijuana may be a miracle treatment for children with autism. I said, wait a minute. This sounds like a fake news story. And sure enough, it's a fake news story. You see, in Israel, they're using a component of marijuana to treat autism. And that is the non-psychoactive compound, CBD, not THC, cannabidiol. Can they have a song about that one? Cannabidiol, CBD. It's an alkaloid of the many alkaloids found in the marijuana plant that helps children in ways no other medication has. And so Israel is a pioneer in this type of research. And so when you hear an article, read an article like this, marijuana may be a miracle treatment for children with autism. Again, propaganda, fake news. It's not marijuana, but a component of marijuana. That would be like saying, let me give another example. Cocaine. We all heard of cocaine. We know its devastating effects and what it does to people. At least most of us know what it does to people. Cocaine is one of many, many, many alkaloids and amongst many other components of the coca leaf. So in Peru, it's been known for ages that people can work at high altitudes on very low caloric intake simply by chewing the coca leaf. So you can argue and say, the Incas discovered that cocaine is a fabulous tool for aiding them in working long and hard with low intake of calories. Well, it would be a falsehood to say that, obviously, because it's not cocaine per se. It's cocaine is one of many alkaloids and glycosides and other components of the coca leaf when chewed, meaning when chewed together, act together in a synergistic fashion to sustain hard work at high altitudes with low oxygen and low calories. But it's not cocaine per se. If you gave the same workers cocaine per se, they'd be dropping dead of heart attacks. So that's topic number two. I have no question for it. I'm just showing you the crimes of the liberal establishment. The crimes of the liberal establishment who continue to rape the brain of the world on a daily basis. Day after day, they rape the mind of the world with big lies about everything. We've all seen the article that Ivanka got booed at a women's panel in Germany, didn't you? You saw that. Ivanka got booed in Germany. Well, we have the tape of that. Two crackpot, sourpuss, radical feminist rats in the back booed in a big audience. She didn't get booed. There were two malcontent vermin in the back who muttered something. They made it into Ivanka gets booed. Again, fake news by mentally ill liberals. Al Gore group demands $15 trillion to fight global warming. Arrest him immediately. It is one of the greatest frauds in the history of the world. It is not scientific whatsoever. And I'll talk about that a little later today. Being the only member of the major radio media with an actual PhD. Yes, I have the qualifications, and I'll argue with anybody on any subject you want. But let me tell you something. That March for Science was not a march for science at all. It was a march against reason and against science and against discussion. It was a march for a continuation of the tenured research that these bums have in the universities. They don't want their research funding cut. They may have to go out and sell cars or vacuum cleaners and get a real job instead of committing day after day to promoting fake science. You name the topic, there are fake scientists. And you see, without research funding or some research funding cut, which is long overdue, they're going to have to actually go out and get a job and compete in the real world. They don't want to do that. So instead, all of these lazy deadbeats marched in Washington and elsewhere. March for science. It wasn't a march for science. It was a march for a continuation of the gravy train. This is the Savage Nation. If you don't like what you're listening to, turn on NPR.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Are you for or against the death penalty? I am clearly for it. It is a great deterrent. Tell me what is to stop a person who is killing someone from going to the nth degree in killing if they think that they're going to be caught and punished. If there's no punishment for it, and they can sit on their fat behinds getting better medical care for 30 years on death row, better medical care than our veterans get, better legal care. Love all the girls go in with their law degrees. How are you today? How are you today, Mr. Jones? Are we doing well, Mr. Jones? Are there any books or magazines we can get you, Mr. Jones? Is that pillow soft enough for your fat behind, Mr. Jones? Did a guard look at you wrong, Mr. Jones? Because we can report him, Mr. Jones. Is there a 600-thread sheet we can get you, Mr. Jones? Any special meals you'd like, Mr. Jones? And yet some of you are so foolish you are against the death penalty, even if they've had multiple appeals, and you know they're guilty, such as in this case in Arkansas, where he killed a woman in front of her 11-year-old daughter and tried to kill the daughter, then went out and raped two other women, and you still have sympathy for him. Tell us why. Laura on WABC, why do you oppose the death penalty?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm going to pull over and drive me. You know that I believe in vigilantism.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call. That's not what we wanted to hear. We didn't ask about... Thanks, Jim. I like that one very much. Trish, KVOR in Colorado. For or against and why?
I'm against it. Michael, I love you. I just disagree with you on this topic. And the main reason is that you're assuming that everyone on death row is guilty. And since 1973, there have been 144 death row prisoners that have been exonerated due to...
All right, wait a minute. You just proved that you don't know what you're talking about. If 140 of them have been proven to be exonerated from their crime and they weren't executed, so the law worked in their favor.
But there are plenty that are killed before they're exonerated.
Are you sure of that? You mean after 30 years, there are plenty of innocent people on death row?
Yes, I am sure of that.
Well, how are you sure of that? Well, let's look at two specific cases. The two inmates executed yesterday in Arkansas. Were they innocent?
I don't know enough about the case. I heard this topic.
All right, at least you're honest enough to admit that. Well, one of them was convicted over and over again on appeal after appeal of having killed a woman in front of her 11-year-old daughter and then going out and raping two other women. And he tried many appeals all the way to the Supreme Court. Would you say he didn't deserve to die?
It's absolutely sickening. But I just don't think that you can kill someone and that's going to deter them from doing bad behavior.
Oh, it might stop the next rapist. It might stop the next rapist.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage on Really Big Something Channel.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
All right, you got it. Sympathy for the devil, got it. So we heard about two wonderful remnants of the Neanderthal past who were executed in Arkansas yesterday. And the liberals went insane. They said southern state of Arkansas rushing to execute, blah, blah. Okay, first of all, they've been on death row since the crime of the 1995. That's number one. Number two, they've had every appeal known to mankind. Number three, I challenge anyone listening to this show as a bleeding heart liberal to find a single article which described the crimes that they committed. You can't find it. I had to go dig it up. Jack Carroll Jones, convicted in 1995 rape and murder of Mary Lou Phillips. Mary Phillips, 34-year-old mother, in front of her 11-year-old daughter, who the vermin Lacey tried to kill. Mother was found naked from the waist down with the cord from a coffee pot around her neck. And while police crime photographers were taking pictures of the murder scene and assumed the little girl was also dead, the girl woke up. She helped solve the case. He was executed by the southern state of Arkansas last night. 1994, Jacksonville, Arkansas, Marcel Williams forced a woman, 22 years old, at gunpoint to cash machines, then raped and strangled her in an abandoned storage shed, leaving behind a little child at the babysitter. See, she was a working mom. No words from the radical feminist mob about the working mom or the other one who was raped. Not one word from the liars in the women's movement. Her body was found in a shallow grave. Mr. Williams, the gentleman, was sentenced to death in 1995. Oh, by the way, 2 days after he murdered this young girl, Stacy Erickson, he kidnapped and raped two other women within 12 hours. Let me tell you what the punishment should have been. It shouldn't have been 30 years leading a fat life on death row. After he was found guilty, they should have castrated him. But okay, I'm a little on the Saudi side when it comes to this kind of thing. A little Sharia wouldn't hurt right here. A little Sharia law would go a long way to reduce the rapes of innocent women. Don't you think? So I've asked you on this situation whether you're for or against the death penalty. We can argue over this all you want. Meanwhile, in the South, they're still knocking them off pretty good. We need to clean out all the death rows in America. Give them one more appeal, maximum 1 year time. Don't let them run a legal bill up. And if they're found guilty again, period, fry them. You've already tried them, now fry them. Then put the next group into the death row that belong in there. That's all. There's another topic I wanted to talk about today, which I don't know that I'm going to get to, which is the fake scientists who were marching for science all over the country yesterday. If you actually saw the kinds of things they were saying, you'd realize they're not scientists. It's not science. Listen to who's in science today. I got to play you some of the sound. March for Science. You ready for this? I'll give you an example. Here's a so-called scientist who gives a speech yesterday in Washington in front of the White House on clip 15. Listen to the scientist.
We all know that science is about data, but we need to remember that data tell stories. We all have a story. My story is that I'm a public health geek and a policy wonk.
Oh, how great.
I'm also a queer transgender man.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? You should get a Nobel Prize for being a queer transgender.
Science helps make sure my community and I are counted, and we count in decisions that affect our lives.
It has nothing to do with science, you sicko, you! Do you understand who has taken over science right now? To try to impose sexual ambivalence onto science? Do you understand the psychosis of this? Well, here's another one. Again, bringing in the fact that she's a lesbian now. In her study of entomology, you want to understand what insanity is? Listen to number 13 now.
My name is Dr. Jessica Ware, and I'm here representing Rutgers University, Newark, and I'm a member of the Entomological Society of America. I'm an evolutionary biologist and an entomologist.
Wow.
Evolution.
That sounds big.
Evolutionary
big
biology and entomology, which is the study of insects, are disciplines for everyone.
Wow.
I'm a single mom to two children. I'm a black female punk rocker with an LGBT family.
Ooh.
My son and my identity
twins
are transgender, and I belong here.
Oh,
I belong in science.
You did a great job.
I'm part of a global community of entomologists and evolutionary biologists.
Oh.
The study of insects is by
definition. I had enough, okay? She's smarter than Albert Einstein. Believe me, she's more important than Albert Einstein. For all the reasons she just mentioned. So far, she hasn't mentioned anything she's done in science that's of any value whatsoever, other than she looks at bugs. It takes a bug to look at a bug day and night. So she looks at bugs day and night, looking to find a piece of herself down there with a feeler. But how we had to hear everything about her LGBT and her African-American heritage, and that she raised two children who were also LGBT, and was supposed to salute her for that. Are you listening to how sick this society has become? Do you have any idea how demented this is to call this a march for science when it was the exact opposite? It was a march for emotion. Now she goes on to 14, the great entomologist who's discovered nothing, so far as we can tell, in the next clip.
We must teach our children to understand evolution. We must teach them to appreciate and love insects and arachnids. They are truly fascinating forms of life. They are always interesting, sometimes ugly, sometimes beautiful, but never boring.
No wonder you relate to them. I mean, I could see why you went into the science of entomology. What have you discovered so far? Nothing. Zero. But you're there, you're shooting your big mouth off about your sexual orientation. Okay, so you see what I'm talking about, the march for science, what it became? It was a march of all the cranks who've invaded science. All the cranks who've invaded science, who don't want the gravy train to end for their fake science, were marching yesterday. Nobody's against science and scientific inquiry, but we're against the liars who have invaded science in order to promote a left-wing agenda. You get it? In Trump's war, I have an entire chapter, which I'm not going to read to you, entitled Trump's War to Restore Real Science. And here are the four solutions. They're simple. They're bullet points. Fund research by global warming skeptics. Right now, anyone who's a global warming skeptic cannot get funded. That's why they say 98% of scientists are sure that man has caused warming. It's because they won't fund any science to the contrary, any research to the contrary. Promote conservative conservationism over progressive environmentalism. Exercise caution and care in repealing environmental regulations. You didn't think I would say that, but I do. I even talk about saving the whales. And finally, restore real science at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. So far as I know, Donald Trump has not yet replaced the phonies at the NIH, the CDC. He needs to do that immediately. He needs to get these grifters out of the NIH and the CDC for all the reasons I describe in Trump's war. These are not scientists. They are politicians. So that's another topic. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Unless you want to talk about something else. Just before the show, I was actually studying purines in food and gout, uric acid levels, for a certain reason. It was fascinating. I'd gone to a laboratory today for a blood test. That felt good, fasting since 8 o'clock last night. I always like to see my blood come out in a vial and get, you know, slightly tired. But we all need a bloodletting. In fact, I have a friend who's a medical doctor who has bloodletted his own body for the last 50 years. He was one of those people who believe, he is actually a very good scientist, who believes that man was meant to bleed and that women outlive us because women bleed, men don't. Most men are afraid of a cut even. They're afraid of the sight of blood. They're squeamish. Men are afraid of blood. But you see, men were made to bleed and lose some of the toxins, especially some of the heavy metals that are found in red blood. And it comes out during the bleeding. You get rid of some of the heavy metals. You get rid of some of mainly the iron, which can be toxic. And so he used to bleed himself every, I don't mean by cutting himself. He's not a cutter. He would just withdraw blood at a certain level every so often. But he said man was made for warfare. Man was made for battle. And in the battle, even for hunting, he would get scratched by the thorns. His feet would get cut. Maybe he'd have to fight with an animal to procure the food. And he'd come home slightly bloodied from the hunt or from war, and he was bleeding. And he said that's the evolutionary status of man. And so that's an interesting topic, by the way, unto itself. All right, so you're not going, what can you say about that? It's good to bleed. I'm not saying it's good to bleed. I'm just giving a little side note about the things I'm interested in. And that's one of the things I'm interested in, is bleeding and blood and blood work and purines and uric acid, stuff like that. But I think most of you want to talk about the death row situation in America and the execution of these two clearly guilty subhumans who did such horrible crimes that anyone who has sympathy for them is a mentally ill person. KSFO, Joseph, Line 7, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tell you that I worked for Department of Corrections for a long time, and I had to walk death row many times with the attorneys for the inmates, and I'll give you a little example beyond how we coddle them, is here in California, the taxpayers paid to expand death row inmate yard time because it was too psychologically damaging to them to go out on the yard in their standalone cages. So we taxpayers built these big open areas so that they could have group time together, and it would help them mentally.
Oh,
when I would,
well, do you see how compassionate liberalism is?
Well, it's a
do they have such yard time for veterans dying in the hallways of VA hospitals?
Oh no, that's not the priority. That's not the priority of the liberals. And
yeah, well, ask Moonbeam why he's called Moonbeam by most voters, as opposed to illegal aliens who we used to get elected over and over again.
The first time I heard him be called Moonbeam was by my grandfather, and that's how he always would refer to him as Moonbeam Brown. So the other frustrating part about what we do in California is when I would have to stand with their attorneys and listen to the inmates say how their food was warm and not hot. And what are they going to do about that? It made me sick, but I had to be professional, and I was represented.
Well, another racket that the lawyers have come up with in California is that their medical care wasn't good enough. So they sued the state of California, and the inmates in prisons now get better medical care for sure than veterans do. Did you know that?
I have, and I know, not only do I know that, Dr. Savage, I've been there to see it. I've been to many prisons.
My heart is now pounding. A tachycardia was just triggered by your story. Because as far as I am concerned, not only is liberalism a mental disorder, it is a racket, one of the greatest rackets ever created. Al Capone would be very, very happy to be to have been the head of the ACLU. He would have made a lot more money. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. You know, I told you I received an email from the President of the United States last Friday. It was from his office, and he inscribed the cover of Trump's War to me. And, of course, he said to Michael Savage, you are the greatest. He speaks in these terms. But he made another interesting side note on the cover of Trump's War. He said, hang in there, we are winning. And then they offered to send me the original cover signed by the President, which I very much am awaiting the arrival of. But I ask in Trump's War this question. The wall, taxes, tariffs, deportations, Obamacare, guns, military strength, schools, abortion, religion, what will the new president do? Now, people have called me the godfather of Trumpomania. And the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump is winning on many issues, even though the lying media, who produce fake news and fake polls, would have you believe otherwise. And most of the chattering classes around the world who dismissed Trump's campaign are now dismissing him as a president, while he's done an awful lot so far. He has relentless opposition from special interests in both parties, who stand to lose trillions if Trump's America First policies become the law of the land. And so he's had to overcome Republicans, progressive ideologues, neoconservative phonies, connected corporate interests in his own party, and a military-industrial complex bent on permanent war. And that's what Trump's war is all about, is keeping him on track, not only for the sake of America, which is, of course, the most important thing, but for the sake of truth. And I lay it all out in one clear chapter after another. It became number one on the New York Times list. Number one, without any help from Fox News. I invite you to order it right now on Amazon or at any bookstore in America. And now back to the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-282. The big question is, do you support or oppose the death penalty? Is this a science question? Social science question, religious question, moral question, question of justice. It's a question of all of that. And many of us differ on it. Many of us are staunch conservatives who oppose the death penalty. And I know why. You're afraid that if you give the state the authority to execute people, you don't know if it could be turned on you. So libertarians, I would think, oppose the death penalty. That would be my guess. In that sense, I am not a libertarian. In that sense, I'm a far right. You want to call me anything you want. I believe the death penalty is very just, a great deterrent. The only problem with the death penalty are the lawyers who represent the death row inmates. That's the only problem with it. You give them their appeals over and over again. They're found guilty definitively. No question marks. You fry them.
Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
After many years of the millionaire rock and rollers calling for blood, and after 8 years of Obama calling for blood, finally there's blood in the streets. Bar takeover robbery, 50 to 60 teens swarm train, rob weekend riders. They won't release the video of the teens or the juveniles. They're saying that they're protected by laws that protect the youth. Really? Now let's just guess. Were these teens who swarmed the train and held people up and beat them up wearing Trump hats? Check no. Were they wearing U.S. flag patches? Check no. Were they wearing yarmulkes? Check no. Were they wearing crosses? Check no. Were they wearing kaftans? Check no. Were they wearing the marks of the Sikh? Check no. So we're not supposed to know who these 50 to 60 teens or juveniles are? Beating people up and robbing them of bags and cell phones? Two victims suffering head and facial injuries. We have anarchy in the Bay Area because of the corruption of those at the top who are robbing the cities blind. Steering contracts to family and friends. You get the picture. Meanwhile, over at the Berkeley riots, there was this violent psychopath who's been outed, according to a website that was just sent to me. His name was mentioned on the show in the last hour. I can't confirm that it is him. But here's a picture of the one who they think was the college professor who was arrested for the bloody bike lock attack at the Battle of Berkeley. His name is Eric Clanton. They're calling him a violent psychopath. We have to keep the pressure on to make sure that the person identified as the Berkeley bike lock coward is arrested and fired from his job as a college teacher. We're being told that the Eric Clanton individual is under arrest. We don't know if that's true. They have not mentioned Eric Clanton, college professor, on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, or Washington Post. They have not mentioned him because he's one of the boys from Brazil, one of those on the Nazi left. Now, what about the virtues of academia? How is this even possible that he's a professor? How many more are there like him who call themselves Antifa protesters, who are actually the fascists they claim to hate, utilizing the concept of crowdsourcing? A message board hosted on 4chan was able to figure out who exactly assaulted a pro-First Amendment demonstrator. And they claim that it's a man named Eric Clanton, who teaches at so-called Diablo Valley College. He beat a Trump supporter in the head with a bike lock. Local professor, don't you know? Well, if you want to read more about it, you can do so. I've linked it on michaelsavage.com and also on my Facebook site. There's a little video of him ranting to his students about anarchist tactics. I just love looking at these guys in their classrooms with the poor students who have to listen to this filth and garbage. The students know that they're full of crap. They have to listen to this garbage or they'll get a D or an F. Now, this is what the universities have become. This is Eric Clanton, shown teaching students creative forms of resistance. We're asking you a question. Does Diablo Valley College approve of this? We're trying to get the president of so-called Diablo Valley College on the show. The so-called president's name is Ted Wheaton, interim president. Ted Wheaton. We have his phone number. We have his office staff. And we have the DA's name. We want to know why the proper charge of attempted murder has not been applied to this fine professor. I do not want to see him let off with community service if, in fact, it's proven that it was him. So there's the story. There are people who are exposing them for what they are, and we now need the authorities to do their job. And by the way, how do we know that they were juveniles on the bar train? How do we know they were juveniles? How can they possibly know that they were all minors and should be protected by not releasing video? Are you sure all of them are minors? All of you protectors of juvenile thuggery, why not just release the video of the minors who went on a rampage on a BART car? Now, by the way, this is nothing new, incidentally. If you think this is brand new, you're crazy. When I was 14 years old or 13 years old, my friend and I took a long subway ride out to Coney Island in New York City. I forget where it went. The same thing happened to us. A group of juveniles swarmed us on the train. They came running after us to grab what we had. Unfortunately for them, we fought back. And you know something? When you fight back, they usually run away. The juveniles are usually punks and cowards. Maybe everyone who rides BART ought to buy a bicycle chain and a bicycle lock. That is, I mean, to tie up their bicycles at the BART stations. Because if the police won't do their job, then the people have to do their job. Or they're going to be made victims over and over again. You know, my friends, there's an old saying about civilization and civil liberties. What is the good of civil liberties if there's no civilization? And what's the good of liberties if the liberties are abused by the Antifa thugs or by the so-called juveniles who get away with virtual murder under the guise of the protections of civil liberties? That's why I've long ago thought that you should come to understand that liberalism is in fact a mental disorder that has given us this disease that we are now seeing rampaging through our nation, where an attack on free speech is called an anti-fascist movement. Well, that's one of the topics, and I think we have exhausted it. I will remind you that I wrote the best-selling book, Trump's War, which helped Donald Trump in many, many ways. In fact, I got a beautiful note from him on, I think it was Friday. I remember the day. It was directly from the president, where he inscribed the cover with a marquee pen, and he said some beautiful things to me on my own book cover, and they offered to send it to me, which I will frame. By the way, it's a big deal to me. And incidentally, today, in about an hour or so, there's going to be a conservative media gathering at the White House to meet the president. I am not there. I'm in San Francisco. But I'm interested to see if the president's going to speak in about 50 minutes. We'll run it if he is going to speak. I don't know yet. We haven't gotten an answer. 855-400-7282. We're also talking about how to not hate your husband after you have kids, the stress of children. We then have, here's another article. Again, a San Francisco-related article. SF restaurants struggle at intersection of food and politics. Apparently, a lot of these morons who run restaurants in San Francisco like to put little political statements on their bills at the bottom. You know, you pay the bill, and then they put something on the bottom like, immigrants make America great. They also cooked and served your dinner this evening. They give that to me. I never go back to that place. I don't want to be indoctrinated. First of all, that's a lie. Yeah, maybe immigrants make America great, but illegal immigrants suck America dry. And if they cooked and served you dinner this evening, they'd ought to arrest the owner for hiring an illegal alien. That's what I would do with that. So the next time you're at Jardiniere Restaurant in San Francisco, and you get a customer receipt that says they also cooked and served your dinner tonight, turn the receipt over to ICE and see if the owner might be investigated. The small political owner, Tracy Desjardins, who loves immigrants so much because she exploits them, obviously. And by the way, similar messages have popped up on receipts at restaurants throughout the Bay Area. Restaurants I never go to, by the way. All these trendy little garbage left-wing restaurants, I never go near them. I don't go anywhere near them. The food is usually garbage and you're ripped off. And that's why they love immigrants, because they work for next to nothing. But I would suggest the next time that you get a political statement on a bill in San Francisco, we're reading some of the names, for example, Grits and Eggs, with posts about racism, misogyny, and xenophobia. Well, she's entitled to her opinion, but you're entitled not to eat there. And if they turn it into a sanctuary restaurant, the fact is that their hatred and ugliness has to be turned over to ICE. It's that simple. I mean, this is a business. People go there to rest. You know what a restaurant means, don't you? A place to rest. I know you don't know that because no one can rest in a restaurant. You can't go in a restaurant and rest anymore. It's like a nightmare how anyone could eat in a restaurant. But the word restaurant derives from the word rest. It's a place to go for rest and respite, not a place to be beaten up by left-wing fanatics who may as well be beating you with bicycle locks as well as their political statements. And that is my opinion. That sounded pretty good. So we don't know if the president's going to speak at 2 o'clock West, 5 o'clock Eastern at that rally of so-called conservative media. I don't even know who's going to be there, actually. And you're going to ask me, why am I not there, right? How come you're not there? Are you jealous and angry? Can I give you the right answer for that? Because I'll give you the exact answer. There's no point in missing words. When I heard about this yesterday in the Drudge Report, the first thought was, I wonder why they didn't invite me. What do you mean conservative hosts are going to be there from radio? Who's bigger than me who helped get him elected? Nobody. Who did he just inscribe a book jacket to? Me. So I said, okay, they didn't know. The same blockage is occurring. I didn't get angry. I figured it's still going on, meaning the same internal palace coup. That's what I thought, but guess what? I was wrong. You want to hear what actually happened? I got so angry, I started to write emails to the staff of Donald Trump saying, how could you ignore a man who just wrote the number one bestseller, Trump's War? How could you say you're having conservative media there and not invite me? Well, they all started scrambling, and they said, it's an oversight. We're sorry. It won't happen again. I said, that's not good enough. I don't believe this oversight story. As it turns out, I had a call from Sean Spicer himself an hour before the show. I was quite pleased by that, because they take me seriously, obviously. He was very cordial, and he said to me, we're very sorry. In fact, I'm sending you the emails to show you that you were invited. I said, what? Apparently, they sent it to one of my great staffers who was off on vacation and apparently didn't have the decency to forward me the invitation. I guess his vacation took precedence over the show or over my relationship with the President of the United States. So this is an example of what happens in the world in which we live. And there's nothing I can do about it. So I said, thank you very much. Sean, you do a great job. And we gave him the correct contact from now on, which will be me directly. But the issue is this. I was in Los Angeles yesterday. This thing was only put together over the weekend. I spoke to, I think I can say to you, a very nice person who I like a lot, Laura Ingram. She was only invited yesterday, I think, or the day before. So she lives in Washington. Of course she should go. Now, I don't live in Washington. I was in Los Angeles. Now, what if I had gotten it when it was sent to my so-called staffer yesterday morning? I might have gotten on a plane and gone to Washington to be there. I might have. I don't say I would. I don't like traveling. In fact, I got so sick in L.A., I'll never go back to L.A. It's like, where does that leave me? I hate San Francisco. Now I hate L.A. I mean, there's nowhere to go anymore. Maybe I'll have to move to Lapland. I hate San Francisco's politics, but I love the weather. I hate the weather in Los Angeles and the politics. So there's nothing for me to do there at all. It was so pollinated. It was so rich with flowers and pollen. I almost died there. I couldn't move. It was like glue was in my body. You ever walk around in a state of numbness where your limbs don't even work and you can't sleep? Your heart's pounding from allergies. That was, and the air was so polluted. Normally the air is pretty clean up in the hills where I stay. The air was horrible. Coming up from, I think it was the Santa Ana winds. All right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's the way life is. So I have to find a new location to live in. No, I'm not going to find anything new. I'm going to stay here where I am, and this is where it is. This is where I'm acclimatized, and this is where I stay. And I'll have to put up with the left-wing vermin who run everything here and continue to make them insane by exposing them for what they are. It's the one salvation I have, is making the left insane by exposing them for what they are. My only hope is that eventually a U.S. attorney will appear who will arrest the politicians who are robbing the city and the state blind of highway funds, amongst other funds. That's the only hope I have, is that President Trump finally puts in a U.S. attorney who's not a stooge of the power structure, and they finally look into all of the contracts and find out where the money went, and make the appropriate actions. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Our beautiful society is being torn apart by the left-wing vermin who need to be arrested under the Patriot Act. If they are, in fact, domestic terrorists, which the Antifa group is by every definition, the Antifa group is a domestic terrorist organization. They need to be arrested, unmasked, and they need to be treated by the law, and they need to be treated immediately. You saw today that it was a professor who was one of them. I guessed it. Remember I said half of them probably professors who put on the scarves and go out and beat people up? Was I wrong? Then you got the other big story, which I talked about at the beginning of the show. It's on the top of Drudge now. BART takeover robbery, 46 detained, swarm a train, rob weekend riders. And the vermin who run BART and the so-called city leaders will not release video of the so-called juveniles who did this. It says the images of the juveniles cannot be shared publicly because the suspects are minors. How do they know they're minors? Well, how do they know they're all minors? How do they know not one of them wasn't 19 years old? Teenagers beat people up, robbed their bags, kept the train in the station for 15 minutes. That's a terrorist event. So the Oakland police have been deballed by the Oakland mayor. The Oakland Unified School District, that's a joke unto itself, won't identify the minors. They know the images of the juveniles. They can share them with the Oakland Unified School District and arrest the juveniles. Isn't there a juvenile detention hall everywhere? BART announced it had hired a new police chief who worked previously in Southern California. That's a joke. What do you do in Southern California to wind up with BART other than talk his way into a better job? The images cannot be shared publicly because the suspects appear to be minors. What do you mean they appear to be minors? That's kind of ageist, as frankly, as I can tell. Some people look younger and not young. So they're covering it up. Then you've got all these other stories, like San Francisco restaurants putting these despicable left-wing comments on your check. Propaganda on the bill. I would take anyone who says a thing like that, I throw it in their face. I didn't go there to get a propaganda experience. So anyway, Tim on KSFO works in one of these hellholes. Tim, tell us your story.
Yeah, hey, Dr. Savage. So I work in a, it's basically I don't want to say what kind of restaurant it's, but I'm a dishwasher. Everyone that works there, most of them don't speak English. A couple of them do. But,
well, sure, they love immigrants because they get them for very low wages. That's why they love them so much. That's why they stand on their high horse, all the owners ripping them off.
Yeah, and I make pretty low. I make $11 an hour.
Well, there you go. That's why she loves immigrant workers. The highfalutin owner with, yeah, we're anti-hate. We're anti-hate, and we love immigrants. Yeah, right. Why don't you pay a fair wage and hire a dishwasher at the right wage?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
I met a true man of peace in my trip to L.A. I was down in Hermosa Beach for the day on Saturday. Beautiful place near Manhattan Beach, for those of you who don't know where that is. The Southern California beaches are gorgeous. So I spent the day in a friend's house. It was quite beautiful, but I walked a certain distance to the pier and enjoyed that. And then I wasn't feeling well, so I wanted to take an Uber back to the house. So we took an Uber. Uber's the greatest deal in the world for the passenger. I don't know how anyone makes money who works for them. They don't make any money, the guys who drive for Uber, the women and guys. So I get in the car, and I see a Middle Easterner driving and a cross hanging from the mirror. Leave it to me. I'm talking about a five-minute drive at most. And I talk to everybody when I'm out. So I ask him one question and the other and this and that. I said, are you making money doing this? He said, not really. I said, well, why do you do it then? And he tries to say it keeps the payments of the car and he makes a little money and it's worth it. But basically, they're exploited by the owners of Uber or Lyft who get all of the money. All the money is sucked to the top. And these poor people don't make very much. I don't even understand the economics of the whole business. So one word leads to the other from there, from the economics. I said, I see you have a nice cross hanging from your mirror. And he says, yes. I said, well, where were you from? He said, I'm a Coptic. So that set me off immediately. I said, your people have been there for 3,000 years, Coptic Christians in Egypt, and the Muslims are blowing your churches up and killing you. And he was the most peaceful man I had ever met in my life. Instead of reacting to my statement with more outrage than I had, he actually reacted with a peaceful comment about what it is to be a Christian and how the Bible told him these times would come and that they expect these times to have arrived and they still haven't lost faith in God. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. In other words, these wonderful people, these Christians, are being decimated in the Middle East by the Muslims, the Muslim fanatics. Let me be very specific. So you don't think I'm anti-Muslim, which I am not. I know you could easily think that any comment about radical Islam is anti-Muslim, and that would be a mistake. Because, you know, I get around a little bit, and I meet people who are Muslim by birth, and they don't practice their religion any more than most of us don't practice our religions of birth, incidentally. And they identify as a Muslim more culturally than they do religiously, number one. And they're as peaceful or as violent as we are, depending upon the situation. So you can't make a broad statement, Muslims. Okay, we're talking about radical Islamists who are killing the Christians in the Middle East. And it was very interesting to me, the whole point of the story is that this Uber driver, Coptic Christian, whose relatives are being slaughtered in Egypt by the fanatical Muslims, didn't have any hatred for them. That's the part I'm trying to get at. I couldn't believe it. He's actually practicing a more pure form of Christianity than I see in most of my comings and goings. But I would tell you this. You know, if you have one religion that says turn the other cheek, if you're slapped in the face, turn the other cheek, and then you have another religion which says if they turn the other cheek, cut the other cheek off, let me ask you how that story ends. So, you know, you have to go back to the whole issue of do you fight violence with violence, as in Berkeley? Do you let the fake professors hiding behind masks or the malcontents of society hide as Antifa when they're psychopath murderers, basically? They're just violent psychopaths who like to kill people and hurt people. Do you just let them do it and turn the other cheek, or do you fight fire with fire? The answer is you don't have to fight fire with fire. You have to make the federal government step in because the local governments won't do their job. And the federal government needs to arrest the Antifa movement the next time it appears anywhere with their faces covered. You make it illegal. See, if it says the First Amendment permits the peaceable assembly to address grievances, which is the First Amendment, by the way, in addition to the others, it says the peaceable assembly to redress grievances. If they arrive in masks, they're violating the First Amendment protections of the U.S. Constitution, and they should be arrested immediately. Period. End of story. The law is on the books. That's not a peaceable assembly. That's an intent to inflict bodily harm, and they can be arrested. So we need the federal government to intervene in Berkeley and elsewhere with these vermin up here and arrest them, and let them then act as the martyrs they are, and let all the Marvins from Manhattan, all the civil libertarians come flying out on their first-class jets and represent them and tell us how fascistic it is for the U.S. government to arrest them. They weren't really doing anything. They're only wearing the masks to protect their... Yeah, right, I heard it all. Okay, put the Marvins in the prisons with them for a few days. WABC, Ron, line 7. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? I have some information that I found on YouTube about the Berkeley mayor is directly in contact with BAM, which is by any means necessary, which is another group just like Antifa that show up in Berkeley.
The mayor of Berkeley is a left-wing skunk. She should be arrested by the federal authorities for aiding and abetting rioters. There are federal laws about state lines and rioters. If she is aiding and abetting them, she's one of them. And she should be arrested by the federal government. And that's the only way to clean up Berkeley and all of these other sanctuary cities run by fanatical anti-American leftists. Any other question?
You're 100% right.
I'm 100% right. I want the mayors arrested who are encouraging this. Period. Nationalism versus internationalism. Borders, language, culture. I've led the nationalist movement for over 20 years. You know, you have to ask yourself something, which I've done. People listen to me and say, wait a minute, why is he yelling so much about borders, language, and culture? Why does this guy, Michael Savage on the radio, who's doing very well in America, why does he care so much about nationalism? You know, it's an important question. I don't know if I have the inclination or the time right now to answer it in 2 or 3 seconds. But I've thought about it quite a bit over these years. First of all, I'm an immigrant son. So that gives me a special perspective. I have 1 foot in the old world and 1 foot in the new world. I am man-child in the promised land. Okay, so grandfather came over here, worked his heart out, died at 47. Father came next. Actually was an immigrant, my father. Killed himself in his store, died at 57. So here I am, man-child in the promised land. Why am I such a devout nationalist? Because I was cauterized by the left. You have to understand what happened to me along the way, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it's boring, but in a nutshell, when it came my turn to take my rightful place in professional society, the ACLU, one of the most terroristic organizations in American history, they're a scourge upon fairness. They're a scourge upon everything decent about the American way. The ACLU said that white males need not apply. The ACLU crowed and said, some people will just have to put their birthright on hold so others may move ahead. Well, I was one of those people. And what happened was it made me so angry. It went so deep within me that I could have either died from the pain and humiliation and the suffering that they imposed upon me as a young man who killed himself to get where I was, to get a foothold in the American ladder of success, in the chosen field that I wanted, or I could fight, and that's when I was tested. I think we're all tested by circumstance rather than by anything else. We don't really know who we are until we're thrown off a motorcycle. Then we find out what we're made of. We don't really know who we are until this happens or that happens. Then we know what we're made of. You know, a man could be a strong man, and then, God forbid, he gets cancer. And then he has to take the chemotherapy, and he has to take radiation. He has to decide whether he wants to live or die from the torture that the medical establishment, by the way, has to put him through, because there's no alternative. He's not going to go to Mexico and pull a Steve McQueen with Latril and come back alive. So the only options are chemotherapy and radiation. And then a man determines what he's really made of. Those are the real tests. And it's not a test anybody should want to go through, but unfortunately too many of us have to. So what I'm saying is, when my birthright was stolen from me by the ACLU, I internalized the rage. I went through all the stages of denial that it was happening. I kept trying to get what I wanted, but it wouldn't open for me. The Red Sea would not part, because God had his own plan for me. I wanted what I thought was my rightful place somewhere, let's say, teaching in a university. God, thank God it didn't happen. Thank God I didn't go into one of those hellholes called a university. I wouldn't have lasted very long. Not with the radical, insane feminists taking over and purging the universities of all constructive males who stood up to them. I wouldn't have lasted very long. That's number one. But number two, how could I have even done my research with the political climate of the universities today? So God had another plan for me. He didn't want me to go down that road. I didn't know it. He didn't come down and talk to me. He didn't say, oh, listen, Michael, no, that's not for you. Here's what I want you to do. That's not the way the world works. You know, it's funny I'm telling you this now, because I've just completed my book, my God book, and it's snapshots of my relationships with God. My relationship with God. Snapshots, snapshots, snapshots. It is not a completed movie. I don't know if anyone has a completed movie of their relationship with God, but I don't. I have a scrapbook of relationships that appeared in little images, meaning little events in my life. That's all I'm going to publish. I'm not publishing a movie about God and me. It's snapshots of God and me. But what I'm saying is, God is at war with all of us all the time. I don't know if you know that. God's not a nice guy. God is a vengeful God. I know Christians don't believe that, but I do. God is a vengeful God. He's an angry God. And he doesn't put up with any of our garbage. He knows what we're capable of, both good and bad. And believe me, he has his way of keeping us on track. Trust me on that one. We may get away with what we think we're getting away with for a certain period of time, and then before we know it, and out of left field, there comes God. And you don't know when it's going to happen, and you don't know how it's going to happen. But believe me, it does happen to you. And there's a reason for virtually everything, and that's where your faith either begins or dies. It's that simple. Now, I don't know how I got into God right now. I guess I got into it because I was talking about what the left wing has done in this society to white males like myself, who worked extremely hard and did it the right way, and then were shafted by the vermin communists in the ACLU, who used all the power of the law to deny us our birthright, making certain that unqualified others were given what we worked for and were supposed to have. You see what I'm saying? So we are in a new political era. We are facing what is, to me, I think, the final battle between nationalism and internationalism. It's not seen that way, but that's what it is. Donald Trump, of course, represents the nationalism that the communist internationalists hate and thought that they had crushed completely. The battle in France between Le Pen and Macron is so clear how anyone on the left cannot see that they're a useful idiot of the oligarchs is beyond me, but it shows me the left is actually filled with stupid people. Macron is a former worker for one of the biggest banking groups in the world, Rothschild, and yet he poses as a left winger. How can the left back an oligarch like Macron and not see that they're using them, that the Rothschild Bank is using them as the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about? How can they not see that? And so the French election will come up, by the way, on May 7th. The second and final round of the French election will be a blowout between the mobs on the left and the patriots on the right. That's the battle that's going on. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or swissamerica.com.
thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Welcome back to Savage Nation. Before we continue talking about violence and politics and things like that, I want to talk about beauty, because everybody wakes up in the morning and they look at their face, men, women, and, oh, God, I wish this bang on my eye would just go away. Well, if that sounds like you every morning, you're actually not alone. Millions of people, right? Millions of people look at the bags and the puffiness, and they don't want to deal with it. Well, now they can do something about it. There's a new Genucel product called, it's actually called Genucel, and it's a serum made with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, and she said, I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared, and they have not come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Listen, Susan's not alone, people. Millions of people use it and love it. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back. So from now until Mother's Day, get a free month supply of Genucel with your order. Call now, and express shipping is also free. All you got to do is call 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. Look your best. Order today, and Chamonix will include a surprise luxury gift absolutely free. 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891. You have it yet? 800-SKIN-891. Let's go to Albany, New York for a call, a quick one. GDJ Radio up there in Albany, line 5. Chris, make your point quickly, please.
Hello, Mike. You're bringing up the Bible, and I've got the question of most important question, I think, of our time, is all three Abrahamic religions call for stoning adulterers and homosexuals. And how do we get over this this situation?
Well, first of all, there's plenty of stoners in Berkeley, so I don't think that we have to worry about that. And secondly, I'm not a biblical absolutist at all. I never have been. I never will be. I'm a sexual libertarian. What a person does with their bodies is their business. I've said that for years, except when it includes children, then I would throw the book at them. So I don't really understand the question, because, again, I'm not a religious fundamentalist who believes in the Old Testament in that regard. Are you?
No, but I'm saying that the reason we have a lot of problems today is because of the three religions are walking into their church with early books that talk about stoning people. And I'm wondering, with your Bible...
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I've said the same thing about the Quran, which has all of these precepts in it, based upon the Old Testament, which has them in it. But modern Jews, even Orthodox Jews, do not follow every word of the Bible to the letter of the law, or else they'd be killing each other day and night. Adulterers would be stoned, as you say. Gays would be stoned. No one lives that way, except the fanatical Muslims in countries like Iran, which is why we must prohibit them from coming to the nation. If they practice a fundamentalist form of their religion and believe in those things, and they should be given a litmus test, and I'm sorry, they're not allowed into the country. How hard is that to figure out?
Well, my point is, I think all three religions need to create a reformist, an appendix.
Hello, I don't know what world you live in, but the Old Testament was considered the Old Testament. Modern Jews practice a different form of Judaism. The Christian Bible, or so-called New Testament, has no such precepts about stoning adulterers, does it?
But why does the King James Version still have a book that talks about stoning?
Maybe a stoner wrote it. I don't know.
God bless you, Mike.
All right. That's the best I can do right now. There's plenty of stoners even in the biblical publishing business. What do I know? So I just got an email from a great Christian listener who says, when I said turn the other cheek, the listener said, it doesn't mean don't defend yourself. It means don't retaliate. Note the distinction. And then the emailer says, Christians fear God, Michael Savage. If we didn't, we wouldn't believe we need salvation through Jesus Christ. That's a fine point I never understood, by the way. I can't say that I truly understand it, but I'm telling you again, the beginning of fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The French changed that to the beginning of the fear of the police is the beginning of wisdom. This is the Savage
Join
Nation.
The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation here in San Francisco. Here's another crime. Can't relate this to politics directly, but it is related to politics directly. Are you ready for this? BART takeover robbery. 50 to 60 teens swarm train and rob weekend riders. Now, they don't describe the teens. Let's guess. A recent string of robberies on BART trains took a frightening turn when dozens of juveniles swarmed an Oakland station over the weekend and took over a train car, forcing passengers to hand over bags and cell phones and leaving at least two with head injuries, witnesses told the transit agency. They were cut around 9:30 p.m. Saturday at Coliseum Station. According to a police summary reviewed by the local paper, witnesses said 50 to 60 juveniles, no description of age, no description of race, no description of clothing. They have cameras. Why don't they release the pictures of the juveniles and round them up? The juveniles jumped the fare gates, rushed to the second-story train platform. Some of the robbers apparently held open the doors of a Dublin-bound train car, while others streamed inside, confronting and robbing, and in some cases, beating riders. The juveniles, no description of race, committed multiple strong-arm robberies of bags and cell phones, said the summary. Police did not say if any of the suspects were armed or describe exactly how the passengers were wounded. The attack was quick, so-called useless police reported, and the teens were able to retreat from the station and vanish into the surrounding ghetto of East Oakland before BART officers could respond. The train that was held up was held for about 15 minutes as authorities investigated the crime and tended to the injured. Now, this incident, my friends, is not a solo. But let's guess. Were the teens or the juveniles wearing Trump hats? I don't think so. Were the teens or juveniles wearing yarmulkes? I don't think so. Were the teens or juveniles wearing U.S. flag patches, or at least U.S. military markings? I don't think so. Why am I asking this question? Because this is a further example of what the left is doing to this country. They're covering up every crime in this country, unless the crime is committed by a returning military veteran wearing a cross who's married with four children. And what I'm saying to you is, unless we the people demand more, it's going to get a lot worse. So these are connected in some way. This lawlessness, this lack of law and order, the BAR takeover robbery, the Antifa fascist pigs in Berkeley who are beating people up and not confronted by the police. Frankly, there is a way to stop this Antifa garbage, which is for the Trump administration to call out the National Guard and arrest them all the next time they appear, because they are domestic terrorists. They are violating the Patriot Act. They are violating all the rules of the road. There is no reason. There are laws on the land against these Antifa vermin. Trump could call out the National Guard and arrest them. And when all of the professors at Berkeley who are civil libertarians complain, they can be arrested along with them and be put into the same detention centers with their friends at Antifa so they can give them the attention and the legal advice that they so desperately need. Go live with them for 24, 48, 72 hours or 3 weeks in a jail cell and see how they treat you, all you good professors, when you say to them, but I'm not one of those bourgeois pigs. I'm with you. I'm one of you. You'll be beaten almost to death. Your clothing will be robbed by your Antifa thugs. And then you'll come to understand that a conservative is defined as a liberal who was mugged or raped. Nationalism versus internationalism. I've been championing the nationalism of America for 20 years when it was hardly even discussed. I came along and defined a nation as being defined by its borders, language, and culture. So I've led this nationalist movement for well over 20 years. Now we see the true face of the anti-nationalist movements, the internationalists, who are really fronts for the George Soros, Rothschild bankers. These violent communist groups are actually useful idiots of the very people they claim they oppose. This is how clever this all is. But this takes some thought, which is lacking on the left, as you well know. Most of them are drug addicts. But the important thing for you to know is that the federal government has laws on the books, the Patriot Act and others, to arrest these violent thugs called the Antifa movement before they kill somebody, because they're now saying that guns and knives are not enough. Then in the Bay Area, crime is so out of control that a gang of youths, 50 to 60 youths or juveniles or teens with no pictures, you know that they have the video images of them. Why don't they release the images for people who are liable to be afraid of who they should be afraid of? We are talking about the rise of the violent extremist left in the United States of America and around the world, funded by, make no mistake about it, they are funded by some powerful interests who want to keep the middle class frightened so they can take over the world. Let's look, for example, not at Berkeley for the moment, because these are useful idiots. These are violent people who like violence for violence's sake. They probably have no politics other than hatred. They call themselves anti-fascists, but they are using all the techniques of fascism. So they are, by definition, the fascists. But what are they actually protesting? What, they don't like white people? That's racist. What else they don't like? That you make a living and they don't? They don't want you to make a living? That you drive a better car? You should not have the ability to buy a car you want because of them? They want more immigrants? For what reason? Why do they want more people from the third world in our country? So you look at Le Pen in France. What is she promising? She wants to reduce net immigration to 10,000 per year. And then she wants a moratorium on legal immigration. Check. So do I. Le Pen would make it harder to qualify for asylum and curtail policies that let migrants bring relatives to France. Take a look at the number of veils running around, while also making it impossible for illegal migrants to secure residency status. Foreigners convicted on terror charges or any other crime would be automatically deported. And she would also abolish a law which permits children with immigrant parents who are born in France to eventually become French. In other words, she would get rid of the anchor baby law, which we need to get rid of in the United States of America now. And I mean retroactively. I want all anchor babies. All anchor babies in America to understand you are not wanted in this country. Because we cannot afford you. It's not that we're against you individually. We're against you as a group because the nation is bankrupt. Le Pen would also ban the wearing of religious symbols such as Muslim headscarves and veils in public. She's routinely warned against the mortal danger that fundamentalist Islam is. And yet this banker clown running against the Macron, never forget that he's a former member of the Rothschild Bank. He wants more immigrants, especially Muslims. Well, why is that? Why would the big bankers want more immigrants and more Muslims? Le Pen wants to lower the retirement age to 60 years from 62. While Macron, the leftist, wants to unify a complex web of retirement rules for various public and private sector employees while maintaining the current retirement age, whatever that means. He wants to suspend unemployment benefits for qualified workers who refuse two decent job offers. So do I. Macron, the banker leftist, to rein in the budget, wants to cut 100,000 civil service jobs. So do I. Though hospitals would be spared while also creating 10,000 police jobs and 4,000 to 5,000 teaching posts. Le Pen, on the other hand, advocates more civil servant jobs at the national level for hospitals, but fewer jobs managed by French regional authorities. She wants 21,000 more police and customs officials. What about taxes? That's an interesting one. Really an interesting one. Here in America, we need tax relief immediately. The number one thing that is impeding productivity in America are taxes and regulations. Trump must immediately cut taxes in this country and must cut regulations immediately. And this will, you will see the economy would boom if he did that. The most grievous of all taxes is the inheritance tax in America. It is so communistic that even the communists have gotten rid of it. The communist inheritance tax here in America says that if you inherit a farm from your mother and father, let's say I'm giving you an example, a farm or a business, and you're a child who grew up in that farm or business and the mother and father leave it to you, you owe the criminal state 50% of the value of that farm. So the criminal state, whether it be Governor Brown or the criminal state that you live in, the gangsters, in other words, called governors, get 50% of your family farm. Why? What did they do to build a family farm? Nothing. But like the true criminals they are, they take 50% of it, called the estate tax. Now, this needs to be eliminated. Russia has no estate tax. Check. China has no estate tax. Check. Now, think about that. China's a communist economy. It's actually a mixed capitalist communist economy. They have no estate tax. Why do they have no estate tax? Because it's after-tax money. I know you people on the left don't even understand what that means because you pay no taxes. But it's money that's already been taxed. Why should you pay another tax on a tax? The answer is because the criminals set it up that way, notably Obama, who greatly increased the estate tax. And so the middle class desperately needs tax relief, and I want to see what Trump does. I'd like to see him take the 39.5 current tax rate, federal, reduced to 20 to 25%. I doubt that he'll go that far. He might go to 33, which is really just nothing. It's lip service. It will not be a shot in the arm for the economy. I would like to see business taxes reduced by 20% in order to encourage businesses. I would like to see Google and Microsoft and the other phenomenally aggressive monopolies broken up under antitrust laws. Now, why would the left wing not be agreeing with this position of mine? Why would the left wing want monopolies like Google, Facebook, and Microsoft? Why do they want such monopolies? Because they espouse political philosophies. In other words, Google fakes it. As I've told you how liberalism works, what they do is they throw all the bones to the radical left to keep them off their back. It's an old game. It's why Pelosi and Feinstein pretend to be leftists. They appease the left by throwing them bones. And so, therefore, the left never asks about all the big questions here in the San Francisco Bay Area. The questions about missing highway funds, for example. Questions like that are never raised by the radical left, who should be the natural enemy of corrupt politicians. But they're not the natural enemy of corrupt politicians. The left have become the natural enemy of the middle class, while calling themselves the Antifa movement. So today we are discussing the revolution that's going on around the planet. Nationalism versus internationalism. I'm on the side of borders, language, and culture. I'm on the side of America as America. I'm not on the side of America as just another global entity, if you want to put it that way. And I don't understand, truthfully, myself, how gullible the left wing really is, that they think that siding with the Rothschild banks or Goldman Sachs or George Soros, some of the most powerful capitalist forces on earth, is a left wing thing that makes sense. Do they understand that they're useful idiots? Do they understand that they're actually being used by the people they claim they hate? And that Donald Trump actually represents the middle class of America? No, they don't understand that at all. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Thank you for listening to the show on Really Big Something Channel.
Now, some have called it nationalism versus globalism, what's going on. That's not exactly right. It's nationalism versus internationalism. I've been at the forefront of this movement for over 20 years. How do I prove that? I don't need a halo. I don't need a badge. What has the motto been of this radio show and all of my books? Borders, language, culture. What does that stand for? Nationalism. A defined border defines a nation. A defined central language defines a nation. A common culture defines a nation. Why do the communists so oppose a nation's identity? Why do the so-called socialists and anarchists and immigrant radical immigrant groups want a banker, whether it be a Goldman Sachs banker or a Rothschild banker in France, to run their country and to dissolve their national identity? What is it that they want? Why do they cater to illegal immigrants rather than the citizens who pay the tab for the illegal immigrants? Why do the international bankers want that? Have you thought about it? Why do the Rothschilds in France want this upstart banker to win and make certain that there is no French identity anymore? Why do they want to flood France with more Muslims? And here in America, why do they want to flood America with more illegal aliens? Why? What do they gain by that? How do they gain financially by suppressing a nation's identity and suppressing the will to identify as a nation? If you can understand that, then you can understand you may be on the wrong side of history, and you're actually a useful idiot who's digging your own grave. because I will remind you that I'm also a scholar who studied the French Revolution in great detail. And once those guillotines started falling from the left, by the way, never forget it was the left wing in France that conducted the French Revolution. And they started to execute. It was no longer rioting and protests. Once they gained power, they started cutting off heads. And here's the interesting thing about the guillotine. It has an unquenchable thirst. After they cut off the heads of all of their opponents, that is, once the leftists had won in France during the French Revolution and stole all of the possessions of the rich, and once they had killed all of the rich, cut their heads off, meaning the whole productive class, who did they turn the guillotine on? Did the guillotine stop falling? They started turning the guillotines on their own kind, because they called them counter-revolutionaries. It has happened in every revolutionary situation the world has ever seen. It happened after the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 in Russia. First they killed the fascists, so they said. And then they started to kill their own friends who were not revolutionary enough. Same thing happened in Cuba. Fidel Castro came along. Fidel Castro and his evil medieval brother, Raul, they said they were not communists, and first America figured, okay, we can get along with them. And then what happened? They started to kill their enemies, first by arresting them and then killing them. Then Castro killed his own revolutionary cohorts because they weren't revolutionary enough. The same thing happens in every revolution. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. I am simply telling you what is going on. Where have the highway funds gone? I've asked you this for months now. Where have the billions of dollars in state and federal highway funds in the Bay Area gone? They've gone into the hands of the rich politicians who pose as left-wing politicians. And so they use these masked degenerates as street thugs in order to intimidate the middle class who would normally look at such corruption and demand answers and arrests. And so they use them as their shock troops. That is why they let them rage in Berkeley or in San Francisco.
Savage.
So the world is at war. I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War a number of years ago, and of course we're engaged in the Civil War right now with the vermin on the left doing the beatings, the shootings, the stabbings, and those of us who support law and order and the elections taking the beatings. This is a repeat of history. I told you it was going to be a repeat of history. I told you they would pose as anti-fascists. I told you that those in Berkeley, those in Paris who put the scarves on and cover their faces are the fascists of our time. And of course they hide themselves as the Antifa movement, the anti-fascists. Isn't that clever? When they use fascism as their number one means of swaying public opinion. And the only question is when the counter-reaction occurs. It has not yet occurred, make no mistake about it. A few brave men who come out and defend old people are not the reaction. The reaction will come. It will come, unfortunately, in a force that nobody will expect. And the thing that we need to emphasize is that this is the job of the police. The police need to go into these rioters with nightsticks and arrest them for committing terrorism. That's what they're doing in Berkeley. They hide their faces. They hide their faces with the black masks. The crazy faces hidden with black masks. And they beat up anyone who they oppose. Antifa flies under the radar, despite escalating acts of violence against President Trump supporters. Great article on this. The shadowy extremist group behind the anti-Trump riots by Edmund Kozak in the Polizette. We know what happened at the pro-free speech rally at University of California at Berkeley, my alma mater, on April 15th, when members of this fascist organization called Antifa began to attack the peacefully assembled crowd of Trump supporters. The Antifa stands for Anti-Fascist Action. Isn't that clever? And it's a network of loosely affiliated far-left communist anarchist groups which orchestrate violent protests and attacks on populists, conservatives, and anyone else's members deemed to be fascists or Nazis. They beat them up. This is what happened in Germany, by the way. And that's what brought Hitler to power. And we better pray. We better pray that the police step in, or that the federal government step in and arrest these vermin before a Nazi movement arises in the United States of America. with a new Hitler who will make Trump look like what he is, which is a benign, nice guy in the middle. This is what will happen unless they are controlled. It's exactly the history of Germany after World War I. I've studied it over and over again. You see, in those days, the communists, like the, quote, Antifa vermin here in Berkeley or in Paris, went out in the streets and beat up anyone they opposed. Well, along came a right-winger named Hitler, and he created a group to counter the communists, to suppress the violence with more violence. Do I need to tell you what happened as a result of this lawlessness? Everyone knows what happened. What could have stopped all of it was a strong police attack upon the communist leftists, the anarchists in Berkeley, New York, wherever they may appear, to stop them before they bring the country into an absolute chaotic end. So let me give you an example of one of the greatest deceivers in the history of American politics, Nancy Pelosi. In my opinion, one of the greatest deceivers in history. Here is a woman who gave a speech at Berkeley several years ago telling the moron students sitting in the auditorium that they should be disruptors. Disruptors, are you listening to this? One of the richest women in the world wants more disruption. What if they came outside the windows of her house on Pacific Heights? Would she want them as disruptors? So now she doesn't want a wall built with Mexico. Now, why would Pelosi want more illegal aliens, more drugs, and more contraband to come into America? Can anyone figure that out? Why would she and Schumer want a border, want a no border wall? What does Schumer need more immigrants for? There's a pretty clear answer. If it were not for illegal aliens, there would be no Senator Schumer. There'd be no Congresswoman Pelosi. Because they're hated by the average taxpayer, incidentally. They are not populist candidates. They're hated by the average taxpayer. And so they've gotten where they are, in my analysis, by encouraging the flood of illegal aliens into the states of New York and California, for example. And they want these illegals to keep flowing in so they stay in power. Here is Nancy Pelosi, one of the great deceivers, in clip number one.
The Democrats do not support the wall. And I think that the Republicans on the border states do not support the wall. The Republicans have the votes in the House and the Senate and the White House to keep government open. The burden to keep it open is on the Republicans. The wall is, in my view, immoral, expensive, unwise. And when the president says, well, I promised a wall during my campaign, I don't think he said he was going to pass billions of dollars of cost of the wall onto the taxpayer.
Okay, so it's very simple. I would say, Mrs. Pelosi, why do you support a wall? Why do you support no wall? Do you want more illegal aliens and more drugs coming into America? Just ask her that. Why let her babble on foaming at the mouth without asking you the obvious question? Why let her get away with it? Say to her, okay, Congresswoman Pelosi, you oppose the wall. Do you want more illegal aliens and more drugs in this country or don't you? Make her answer the damn question. Well, how about the pastrami eater there from New York, Schumer, Big Shoe? Big Shoe Schumer, the Knish, the human Knish. Listen to him on the wall in 03.
We've asked the president not to interfere. If he doesn't interfere, we can get this done. If he demands things, poison pills like the wall, which not only Democrats but Republicans oppose, every single Republican on the border, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico oppose it, we can get this done. So we'd ask him to let us do our work, not throw in some last-minute poison pills that could undo it.
Schumer is a poison pill in human form. Charles Schumer is a living poison pill. The American people voted for a border wall. They did not vote for Charles Schumer to tell us not to protect our nation's borders. Schumer is a living poison pill. And I want that wall, and I want it now. Okay? It's that simple. Nationalism versus internationalism. Borders, language, culture. I've led the nationalist movement for over 20 years. You know, you have to ask yourself something, which I've done. People listen to me and say, wait a minute, why is he yelling so much about borders, language, and culture? Why does this guy, Michael Savage, on the radio, who's doing very well in America, why does he care so much about nationalism? You know, it's an important question. I don't know if I have the inclination or the time right now to answer it in 2 or 3 seconds. But I've thought about it quite a bit over these years. First of all, I'm an immigrant son, so that gives me a special perspective. I have 1 foot in the old world and 1 foot in the new world. I am man-child in the promised land. Okay, so grandfather came over here, worked his heart out, died at 47. Father came next, actually was an immigrant, my father. Killed himself in his store, died at 57. So here I am, man-child in the promised land. Why am I such a devout nationalist? Because I was cauterized by the left. You have to understand what happened to me along the way, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it's boring, but in a nutshell, when it came my turn to take my rightful place in professional society, the ACLU, one of the most terroristic organizations in American history, they're a scourge upon fairness, they're a scourge upon everything decent about the American way. The ACLU said that white males need not apply. The ACLU crowed and said, some people will just have to put their birthright on hold so others may move ahead. Well, I was one of those people. And what happened was it made me so angry. It went so deep within me that I could have either died from the pain and humiliation and the suffering that they imposed upon me as a young man who killed himself to get where I was, to get a foothold in the American ladder of success, in the chosen field that I wanted, or I could fight, and that's when I was tested. I think we're all tested by circumstance rather than by anything else. We don't really know who we are until we're thrown off a motorcycle. Then we find out what we're made of. We don't really know who we are until this happens or that happens. Then we know what we're made of. You know, a man could be a strong man, and then, God forbid, he gets cancer. And then he has to take the chemotherapy, and he has to take radiation. He has to decide whether he wants to live or die from the torture that the medical establishment, by the way, has to put him through, because there's no alternative. He's not going to go to Mexico and pull a Steve McQueen with Latril and come back alive. So the only options are chemotherapy and radiation. And then a man determines what he's really made of. Those are the real tests. And it's not a test anybody should want to go through, but unfortunately too many of us have to. So what I'm saying is, when my birthright was stolen from me by the ACLU, I internalized the rage. I went through all the stages of denial that it was happening. I kept trying to get what I wanted, but it wouldn't open for me. The Red Sea would not part, because God had his own plan for me. I wanted what I thought was my rightful place somewhere, let's say, teaching in a university. God, thank God it didn't happen. Thank God I didn't go into one of those hellholes called a university. I wouldn't have lasted very long, not with the radical insane feminists taking over and purging the universities of all constructive males who stood up to them. I wouldn't have lasted very long. That's number one. But number two, how could I have even done my research with the political climate of the universities today? So God had another plan for me. He didn't want me to go down that road. I didn't know it. He didn't come down and talk to me. He'd say, oh, listen, Michael, no, that's not for you. Here's what I want you to do. That's not the way the world works. You know, it's funny I'm telling you this now, because I've just completed my book, my God book, and it's snapshots of my relationships with God, my relationship with God, snapshots, snapshots, snapshots. It is not a completed movie. I don't know if anyone has a completed movie of their relationship with God, but I don't. I have a scrapbook of relationships that appeared in little images, meaning little events in my life. That's all I'm going to publish. I'm not publishing a movie about God and me. It's snapshots of God and me. But what I'm saying is, God is at war with all of us all the time. I don't know if you know that. God's not a nice guy. God is a vengeful God. I know Christians don't believe that, but I do. God is a vengeful God. He's an angry God, and he doesn't put up with any of our garbage. He knows what we're capable of, both good and bad. And believe me, he has his way of keeping us on track. Trust me on that one. We may get away with what we think we're getting away with for a certain period of time, and then before we know it, and out of left field, there comes God. And you don't know when it's going to happen, and you don't know how it's going to happen. But believe me, it does happen to you. And there's a reason for virtually everything, and that's where your faith either begins or dies. It's that simple. We're talking also about crime in the San Francisco Bay Area, why there's no description of the swarm of 50 to 60 juveniles who swarmed the train, beat people up, and robbed their cell phones and bags, and then ran out of the station with no one being arrested. Why have they not released the footage? Don't tell me that they say, people, oh, well, there are laws that protect juveniles. That's why they won't release the tape. I am sorry. When it comes to a crime like this, you release the tape, you focus in on their faces, and you let the parents turn them in, because a lot of the parents would be outraged by what their children are doing. Here's another topic. I saw an article, how not to hate your husband after you have kids. And a woman wrote the article. She said, before we became parents, my husband Tom and I rarely fought. That changed when we had a baby. We started fighting all the time. So I was going to ask you, did a child destroy your marriage? I just thought, just for a change of pace, because it's so anti-conservative to even raise the question. We're supposed to, like, glorify family. But family is a wonderful institution, don't get me wrong. But as a talk show host, am I allowed to ask the fact if children didn't make your life harder rather than easier? Of course it does. Who said it's supposed to make it easier? See, that's the problem. We all want the easy way out, and we all want the narcissist's way out. And the fact is that raising children is a very, very big burden. And this woman writes about it. She says, most of the arguments revolve around the fact that while we both worked full-time, she was stuck doing all the child care and chores around the house, and he did nothing. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
So we are in a new political era. We are facing what is, to me, I think, the final battle between nationalism and internationalism. It's not seen that way, but that's what it is. Donald Trump, of course, represents the nationalism that the communist internationalists hate and thought that they had crushed completely. The battle in France between Le Pen and Macron is so clear how anyone on the left cannot see that they're a useful idiot of the oligarchs is beyond me, but it shows me the left is actually filled with stupid people. Macron is a former worker for the biggest, one of the biggest banking groups in the world, Rothschild. And yet he poses as a left-winger. How can the left back an oligarch like Macron and not see that they're using them, that the Rothschild Bank is using them as the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about? How can they not see that? And so the French election will come up, by the way, on May 7th. The final, I think the second and final round of the French election will be a blowout between the mobs on the left and the patriots on the right. I've been championing the nationalism of America for 20 years when it was hardly even discussed. I came along and defined a nation as being defined by its borders, language, and culture. So I've led this nationalist movement for well over 20 years. Now we see the true face of the anti-nationalist movements, the internationalists, who are really fronts for the George Soros, Rothschild bankers. These violent communist groups are actually useful idiots of the very people they claim they oppose. This is how clever this all is. But this takes some thought, which is lacking on the left, as you well know. Most of them are drug addicts. But the important thing for you to know is that the federal government has laws on the books, the Patriot Act and others, to arrest these violent thugs called the Antifa movement before they kill somebody, because they're now saying that guns and knives are not enough. Then in the Bay Area, crime is so out of control that a gang of youths, 50 to 60 youths or juveniles or teens, with no pictures, you know that they have the video images of them. Why don't they release the images for people are liable to be afraid of who they should be afraid of? Here's another article. Again, a San Francisco-related article. SF restaurants struggle at intersection of food and politics. Apparently, a lot of these morons who run restaurants in San Francisco like to put little political statements on their bills at the bottom. You know, you pay the bill, and then they put something on the bottom like, immigrants make America great. They also cooked and served your dinner this evening. They give that to me, I never go back to that place. I don't want to be indoctrinated. First of all, that's a lie. Yeah, maybe immigrants make America great, but illegal immigrants suck America dry. And if they cooked and served you dinner this evening, they'd ought to arrest the owner for hiring an illegal alien. That's what I would do with that. So the next time you're at Jardiniere Restaurant in San Francisco, and you get a customer receipt that says they also cooked and served you dinner tonight, turn the receipt over to ICE and see if the owner might be investigated. The small political owner, Tracy Desjardins, who loves immigrants so much because she exploits them, obviously. And by the way, similar messages have popped up on receipts at restaurants throughout the Bay Area.
Savage.